Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch with me, Bright Khumalo, tackling your stock-related questions this evening are Zwela Kimnguni from Benguela Global Fund Managers and independent analyst Jimmy Moyaha. Send those questions via SMS to 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Gentlemen, welcome to this episode of Stockwatch. Let's start with, the market behavior that we've seen recently. I mean, if you look at the U.S. stock market last night, we were up north of 4%. And then obviously, the Fed started speaking and we saw those numbers dwindle away. Basically, the Nasdaq closed, flat, eked out a small gain, while the S&P 500, which is the broader index, closed in the red. And obviously, looking at the futures right now, as we record this show, we're looking basically like we're going to open in the green. So I don't know where we're going to close because it's been a very, very volatile couple of days. So I'll start with you, Jimmy. What did you make of the Fed's comments and obviously its effect on, the market?
Thanks. I think a lot of what was said last night was something that was priced in. I think there were a couple of surprises, of course. We did hear a bit about the balance sheet reduction that's sort of been pushed back that we thought may coincide potentially with the interest rate hikes, but the Fed chairs made that clear that that will follow the rate hikes. The fact that we're adding now an additional rate hike. I mean, if you remember initially, we sort of thought we were going to price in about 3 rate hikes for this year. Correct. Now we're up to 5, and it's looking more and more likely that we'll get those from March, almost certain that we'll get those from March, according to the Fed chair as well. So I think some of the tones and some of the things that were said there were in line with expectations, but there were one or two things that may have surprised the market.
Yes, we know that for investors who already invested coming into this year, the boat has sailed in terms of, expecting returns here. But if you're on the sidelines, Mr. Mguni, what should one be thinking? Have we bottomed out, or should, wait a little to see what comes after those rate hikes? We've seen one locally as well. So what should someone with the cash to buy the dip be doing right now?
Yeah, Mtuma, I think from time to time the market never works, actually. I think the one thing that investors need to do is look long-term, 5 years out. And I think over any given five-year period, the stock market has always done better than most asset classes. And having said that, I think there are pressures across certain sectors, and those pressures would be more for some sectors than others. For example, if you take the tech sector, it would probably take a lot of strain because there were a lot of speculators that had climbed into the tech sector on the basis that there was cheap money and they were basically speculating. And I think now what we will see as the potential for rate hikes is increasing, we'll probably see that those speculators would run and that would put pressure on the tech sector. On the other hand, sectors like banks would probably benefit from a rising rate environment. I mean, some of it has been discounted, especially in America. But Europe, to some extent, has been lagging behind. There wasn't certainty that there would be a liftoff in rates. But certainly, in emerging markets, rates have been rising already. And I think some of the emerging market banks are looking quite attractive.
Yeah, okay. Fantastic. Thanks for those comments. Let's jump right into our questions. This one is from Rohan Rai and Maria, says, can your panel comment on the prospects of AECI? So do any of you follow AECI with keen interest?
I don't follow it very closely, but I mean, one thing I can say about it is that they are a beneficiary of two sectors, so the mining and the agricultural sector, and they've got a property business that basically they just lease land to property developers. I think if one looks at the mining sector, I mean, they've benefited to some extent, and I think if we continue to see commodity prices at least stabilize rather than rally, and we might see them benefiting on that front. On the agricultural side, I mean, the prices have been high for quite some time, and we might see softer prices going forward as the base effect sets in. I do think that ACI is probably a decent business, but yeah, that it's very cyclical. I mean, if you you don't want a roller coaster ride, I mean, you shouldn't be in this stock.
It's very hard to time these things. Shane Hall says, I'm currently stuck between choosing ARM and ShopRite at the moment. Can the panel perhaps provide some guidance on which one would be a better pick for the long term? Jimmy?
I mean, ShopRite just reported results today. They reported some earnings numbers today. They reported that they're downsizing their African operation. They've only got about 10% or just about 9.4% of their African revenue or their group revenue accounts for Africa. They're still heavily concentrated in South Africa, yes, with about 79% of that coming through from South African supermarket businesses. They did also outline that in those figures that the impact of the civil unrest affected their stores. They had some insurance claims on that front and that sort of thing. If you're going to look at ARM, you're looking at exactly what Zoe, like I said just now, around the mining sector, the space where you're relying on supply chain constraints to not constrain you in a global demand. ARM is looking very, very good from a minerals perspective and from a production perspective. I know if you compare them with the likes of Kumba and Anglo, all miners in South Africa have got their production levels in order. Everything's fine on that front, but it's about getting that export out, getting the revenue to be realized revenue and not sitting on stockpiles of inventory going into the new financial year. So I think it's going to be critical. One, we need to make sure the global recovery doesn't come with supply chain constraints that could affect both retail ShopRite as well as mining ARM in this case. I think if you're going to be looking at your returns base as well, as Zwelakhe alluded to around the fact that you're looking at longer-term returns, your ARM is probably going to be a little better positioned to give you those long-term returns just off the back of the fact that they are, if I'm comparing them to ShopRite, I think one of the things I don't really like about ShopRite at the moment is their some of their business units aren't doing too well. Their furniture business took a hit. They did about 6.5% decline in sales, but they're also not as adaptive on the furniture and home front as your Mr. Price Homes, for example. So from my perspective, I'm probably going to lean towards ARM if I have to choose between the two for you.
Yeah, I mean, and Lewis seems to be doing exceptionally well in the finisher front, and they're not big for nothing, right? Zwelakhe, this one is a very nuanced question from Russell, saying our resources complex came into a pasting today. Harmony Gold at minus 8%, suffering the worst of it. A small operational concern as far as research-led forecasting goes. If a damaged conveyor belt at a mine can cut forecasted production output by a third, then nuanced commodity price shift become moot. Surely operational continuity is something we should expect by default, right? So it's a fair question.
It is a fair question. I think, mining is a very tough business. I think they make it look easy by reporting numbers and they benefited from the commodity prices. But really, it's a very tough question. Harmony in particular, I mean, their mines are very deep. They've got all sorts of issues that they have to spend money on to try and just sustain operations. So that's the first thing. But I think if you are looking at investing the mining companies, you have to package the cost of production with the outlook for the commodities that they are operating in. So if you're just looking at for safety, you want the lowest cost producer, but you also have to think about where is the commodity going. So Harmony Gold is not one of the lowest cost producers in the sector, and as we say, Benguela would say that it's a low quality business, but yeah, it is a highly geared play on gold. So if the uncertainty persists in the global markets and the Ukraine tension picks up momentum, we could see gold picking up and Harmony could actually do well. I think sadly what one doesn't want to do is to look on a day-to-day price and try and make a decision based on that. I think one has to look a lot further out. So I would probably say that in the short term, probably there might be some
Okay. Yeah. Jimmy, this is a question from Twitter. from Zaks Tsotetsi. It will be interesting to hear what is the opinion of the panel on Netflix. So obviously Netflix was down about 41% prior to reporting their earnings last week, and then fell further about 20% on the day, maybe a little bit more. So it's a good question.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think from Netflix's guidance, they've given guidance that they're expecting a lower number of new subscriptions. So I think if I'm to look at that space and that sector at the moment, it actually kind of lines up with the stock pick I had been eyeing for the week, which is not Netflix, but Disney Plus. So I mean, I've got a bit of a different view on that, and that's because I'm liking the fundamentals that we're seeing from Disney at the moment. And where Disney's differing from Netflix is they're expanding into newer markets at a much larger rate than Netflix is expanding on their front. So from a Netflix perspective, I think if we're going to look at guys returning to work, and we've seen some countries say it's going to now be mandatory for a lot of people to then go back to the office on a full-time basis in some countries and that sort of thing. You might find that your subscriptions and your usage of products like Netflix that were predominantly tech leaders during the COVID period when everybody was under lockdown might take a bit of a back foot at this point of view. They have outlined that they're increasing their subscription fees marginally and that sort of thing. Yes. But I still think as a better alternative, I'd probably at the moment I'd like to look at Disney Plus just based on its fundamentals. Although you can't ignore the fact that given what Netflix has gone through recently, they're now trading at somewhat of a discount, and that might be a bit of an attractive view from a short-term perspective. But I think if you're going to look at a longer-term play as well, you might want to consider something like a Disney Plus or maybe balance between the two of them.
Luca Pacioli is asking, Westies were Platinum Limited. Overview, please.
I don't follow Westies with Platinum as a stock in particular. I'm not too close to the detail, but I think if you just look at the PGM sector as a whole, there has been a lot of pressure towards the end of last year where the auto manufacturers basically were forced to cut their production as a result of the semiconductor shortage. And I think we've heard again that the semiconductor shortage might persist. And the relationship with that to the platinum sector is that you can't make a vehicle if you don't have the semiconductors. And the semiconductors, the auto cats within the vehicles are actually the biggest component of platinum consumption or PGM's consumption. So when I look at that, I think there might be a bit of stability in the short term for these businesses, but I do think towards the second half of 2022, we will see a bit more pickup in that the production, the auto vehicle manufacturers would probably pick up production going forward. So that might be supportive of the PGM sector, but yeah. I think in the short term, there's going to be a bit of volatility.
Yeah, I mean, some of these countries are starting to announce that COVID, you know, is like the flu now, so we should forget about it and move on to the next thing. Hopefully that eases our supply chain worries that we've been having, and these companies can actually meet the demand that they have. As a South African, I'm very bullish on South Africa, so I want this to happen. Jimmy, there's a question from Hems. It says, views on the Hemison update, should I hold it for the long term?
I think you could be in for a good run there. I think you'd probably be looking at, I mean, the update was fairly bullish from their perspective. And to sit there and any forecast at this stage, having looked at where the markets have come, have you looked at how much of a rally we've had in equity markets as a whole, and any forward-looking projections that are positive might be something that would be that could stand you in good stead. But you also want to be cautious of the fact that the sector that they're sitting in at the moment, if you've got you've got a lot of guys that are struggling there, you've got a lot of guys that you're competing against as well, and I think you want to then maybe look at an alternative, maybe not hold as long-term as you had originally planned. I mean, Zoulakis mentioned earlier that over a long-term basis, your equity markets are going to do well, and that is very, very accurate. But if you're not willing to hold it out and you're not willing to ride out those storms over the 3-4 years as the company weathers whatever storms it needs to weather, particularly coming out of COVID, then you might be better placed to put your investment somewhere else just on a shorter-term basis and get your returns from there. But if you're willing to ride it out, similar to how I'm in with CISU, actually, I took a punt on that. And that's basis the fact that I think that there's the rumors of the buyout that might be taking place might come true. So if you're willing to wait it out like that and you're happy to do that, then it's a good stock to go into. But at the moment, if caution is something that you're focused on, you probably want to look elsewhere for your returns.
So it's the question of quality over quantity again here. Zoulakis, let's talk about meme stocks, right? We got one here on the SMS. Says, dear panel, PPC has dropped massively over the last week. However, the company seems to be out of trouble and is profitable again. The current share price is about 90% to NAV. Do you think it's wise to hold this share? Thanks. This is from Brendan.
Yeah, look, I think
Before you answer, also, the management has been selling high, so it's been selling aggressively there. So is there a problem? Is there something they know that we don't know?
Management seems to be saying that there is no problem. But, I mean, if you are running the business and you have clarity on the outlook for the business, why would you sell? Because you could sell higher at a later stage. I think that's my concern. I mean, they're denying that there's any issue, but I'm a little concerned about it. I think that's a...
Stay skeptical.
It's a warning sign. I mean, it's always a good signal to observe. I think on the company itself, they got themselves into trouble by going to Africa, underestimating the challenges that they'll come across, the impact of imported cement into those African markets. And I think They lost quite a lot of money in the process, and I don't remember seeing how much of impairments they put through in their books. But I do think that, I mean, in South Africa, they've got a very good position. They've got a relatively slight premium pricing, but that premium has been coming under pressure on the cement side relative to the likes of Sepaku Cement. Yeah. They've been receiving a lot of pressure there. Sepaku has taken a lot of market share from them. So I certainly think that the long-term PPC would have to probably continue managing their costs and their plants. Some of them are quite old. They're probably going to need to do some. It might be a potential investment opportunity if execution would be good, but I'm just worried that management is selling.
Yeah, and maybe pivot to Bitcoin if everything fails. So this one is also from the SMS line. It says, stock, hi, why was the big decline in Clicks yesterday? So is Clicks share price, obviously high beta stocks are not having, you know, their day in the sun. So Jimmy?
Was that Clicks?
Yes.
Well, I mean, from a retailer perspective, you've sort of got you've had that pent up demand that went through during December. We saw retail sales numbers coming out in December, and they were really positive. Black Friday numbers were up, and all of that. And what you typically see following that, going into January and going into the early start of the new year in some sectors, is you might see a bit of a decline in the volumes, in the demand, and that sort of thing, just as people spend less. As a whole, but particularly now, I mean, if you're going to look at something like Clicks, remember Clicks is now not only just the cosmetics section as well, there's the pharmacy section as well there, where they're competing with the likes of your MediRite from the ShopRite stable house. They're competing with the likes of your Link pharmacies, your private pharmacies, and that sort of thing. I think Clicks, if we're looking at it, yesterday was a rough day across the board for a couple of markets. We did see a big decline across the board, and it could have been part of that and coupled with demand. I don't think, I might have missed it, but I don't think there was any significant economic data coming out from Clicks' perspective that would have driven the price lower.
Yeah, no, thanks for that, Jimmy. So Renee Makubutluane says, hi there. What are your thoughts on ALE? So that's African Rainbow Capital. I know since the... No, that's a different company. But yeah, what's your view on African Rainbow Capital?
Yeah. African Rainbow Capital, for the longest time, it's been in the development phase of their assets. And I think they are getting to a stage where they are able to produce some cash. I mean, in the PGM sector, I do think that the market has put a poor rating on the company, partly because of the volatility that they derive from the stake in Harmony. But I also think that the business doesn't seem to have any a bigger plan going forward. I mean, there is no focused strategy around which commodities that they think they're going to do well and basically back those commodities. It looks like a residual investor where there is either an opportunity to invest, to co-invest as a BE partner, or somebody doesn't like this asset and they want to buy the asset, to sell the asset, and you basically get that. But yeah. I certainly think that it is a from the iron ore price benefits. And they benefited and they are in a good and strong balance sheet position at the moment. So would I buy it? I mean, it's not a stock that I like. I'd rather buy BHP Billiton. At least I know where it's going.
Okay, so I think it's time for us to jump into our stock picks for the evening. I'll start with you, Jimmy.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with my earlier mention around Disney. It's a bit of a long-term play. I'm liking the fundamentals around that. Yes, there is a bit of debt within the company, but most companies are built that way as well. Yeah. I like the outlook that they've got at the moment. I like their expansion plans at the moment. And I think for a long-term basis to diversify from the current portfolio of stocks that I'm looking at the moment. I mean, ARFC is another stock that I'm very interested in, where Sizwe, as I mentioned earlier, I think Disney's a bit of a good diversification. It doesn't pose as much of a significant risk in the tech space as some of your other bigger players. I mean, if you're going to look at something like Apple, while Apple is a great product, it's a great stock, it's always been a great stock, if we have the ongoing supply chain constraints and we have the ongoing semiconductor shortages that Zwelakhe alluded to earlier, if those persist, Apple products can't get into the hands of consumers, it's going to affect revenue from that perspective. Something like Disney doesn't require those sorts of factors, and I'm liking that.
Yes, and for those individuals who said they're not holding Netflix on their portfolios because they're waiting for Disney Plus to come to South Africa, so they could, because they already own that. I hope they're going to be subscribers and not share passwords, by the way, because they're coming here in June, July. So yeah, I'm pumping at Disney for you. Zwelakhe, what's your stock pick for the evening?
Yeah, I'm going with Lucid. It's a electric vehicle manufacturer that is in the US. It's a company that was founded by the ex-Tesla team. That business has actually two significant advantages at the moment. So the one is that they've got the background knowledge. They actually, the Model S Tesla, they are the team that designed it. So they know the weaknesses in Tesla. That and the T 520 kilometers, and I think that's the highest in the world at the moment in electric vehicles. So that gives them quite a good ability or entry into the market, because most of the manufacturers are around 200 kilometers, 200 to 250. Where the opportunity is for them is also around the geographic growth. So they've set up in the U.S. I think they said they'll deliver 22,000 vehicles in the U.S. In the U.S. at the moment, and then they'll expand into Saudi Arabia and Europe. Certainly, the business has got a lot of scope with that advantage, where the mileage, you can get 520 miles. It's a very good, it actually compete very well with the combustion engine vehicles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. So you're going with the meme stock, Lucid, and you're going with Disney because of Disney Plus. Thanks to my guest, Zwelakhe Mngunu from Benguela Global Fund Managers and independent analyst Jimmy Moyaha. Stock Watch is back on Monday, same time, same place. Have a good evening.